Welcome to episode number 91 of the LSR Podcast. My name is Matt Brown. Joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gambling industry. With me, I have Dustin Galker. With me, I also have Adam Candy. That is with two E's and no Y, of course. If you want to follow those guys on the Twitter machine, that's how you get to Adam Candy. His name, Adam Candy. That's how you get to Dustin Galker, at Dustin Galker. I'm a little weirder, but I don't suggest following me anyway, at Matt Brown. M2. If you're listening to this on the website, if you want to get this delivered to your phone each and every time that we post one, of course, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google, you can go in, subscribe. And while you're there, if you want to give us a rate and review, that would be awesome as well. We'll do the quick hits about the states. We're getting numbers, we're getting revenue, we're getting things like that. So we'll update you down the list on how that all goes. We have some BetMGM news as well. We've got Barstool getting one of the traditional sportsbooks here in Nevada kind of riled up about something. We'll talk about our friends up there, not Julian, of course, but we'll talk about our Canadian friends as well in the sports betting world. And then we'll also hit on New Jersey's. But let's start with the numbers we're starting to get here. Rolling through, we're finally getting, you know, all of the Super Bowl numbers for the final tally here from all the states. And Dustin, we knew it was going to be huge. We knew it was going to be big. We knew that this was going to be a number that we looked and said, wow, I mean, during a pandemic and, you know, there's really limited over the counter stuff as well. Pretty big number here.
Yeah, we're it's interesting because states really love to report just the Super Bowl numbers. Not sure why, because sometimes we're lagging 2 months behind on some of the actual numbers from a given month. But a bunch of states, for whatever reason, love to just put out the Super Bowl numbers. So we have a lot of them. We're approaching $500 million in what we know is wagered in legal markets across the United States. The leader in that is still Nevada, which is no surprise. More than $136 million wagered in Nevada. New Jersey not too far behind at about $117 million. So a lot of that in the two biggest markets for sports betting. And then you have, you know, a lot of that have opened up. You know, you have Illinois, Pennsylvania, et cetera, that have, you know, had pretty decent handle and a lot of action. But, you know, we know this is the biggest betting event of the year. This gives us some insight into what is going on in the Super Bowl. And, you know, for me, it's interesting because Nevada has always been, again, top dog. People visit Nevada. This is down a little bit, again, because of the things that we talk about, people not visiting Nevada or casinos as much, but still did pretty brisk business on the Super Bowl. People still going to casinos and betting on the Super Bowl, but New Jersey really kind of picked up as a Super Bowl betting market as well. They were kind of low last year, and I think we've kind of figured, oh, Nevada just kind of always has this market corner. They're always going to be the biggest for Super Bowl, and New Jersey really kind of started turning that around and did some brisk business on the Super Bowl, brisker than they certainly did last year, about $54 million again to $117 million this year.
Adam, I don't think we will double this. So for me to say, hey, do you think next year we could hit $1 billion when it comes to Super Bowl betting? But we will have a much more mature Colorado market, Pennsylvania market, Illinois market. We'll have Louisiana joining the fray. We assume a couple of other states will be joining as well along the way. We'll have a much more mature Michigan market as well. We should get back, you know, knock on wood here, but we should get back, you know, the over the counter stuff here in Vegas, but not only in Vegas, but, you know, Mississippi is basically over the counter always and things like that. So these when people get back to traveling and it becomes a destination type thing, go spend a weekend at a casino to watch the Super Bowl and whatnot. I'm not going to say $1 billion. I'm not going to say it will double, but I bet you this time next year we're talking 700-800 million. I think that could maybe even be a conservative estimate here.
I think it's going to matter which markets come on, Matt. I could see where retail would add another 10% to this, because when we think about where the big retail bets are probably coming in, they're coming in Nevada, and those big players are probably finding a way, even in this market, to still get their action down. I think that's why we saw Nevada's numbers still pacing ahead of New Jersey and everyone else. But as you mentioned, there are some markets that will be more mature. Most importantly, I think Michigan within those markets, Virginia as well, two places that were just barely getting going in time for the Super Bowl, and they're going to have many more sportsbook options by the time we get to this point next year.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't think it'll double, but I think 700, 800 would be like a pretty solid guesstimate. I mean, Dustin, what do you think it's crazy if I were to say that?
I don't think it's wild at all to think that. It's, you know, like Adam says, I think it depends a lot on what markets open up. If we have big states come online, we have a bunch of states that we're looking at right now that if any number of those, we definitely are going to be pushing a billion. No question about it. But yeah, it's, you know, and it's going to grow. It's going to, we're seeing everything still growing. You know, the, again, I say the New Jersey numbers, those, I think those grew faster for the Super Bowl than we thought they would. So I look at these numbers and I say, yeah, we can, I'm not going to bet, I guess, on $1 billion based on what I know, but you know, this is again, the biggest spending event in the United States. It's going to keep growing. We actually get these numbers, so we're going to get a good idea of how much people love to bet on the Super Bowl in regulated markets.
So we've got these revenue reports from the various states out there. Got about five to hit on here. You guys can go to town on this however you want to divvy this up. I'm not going to make anybody claim a state here, but lots of updates to go with.
I'll kick it off. I mean, this was the busiest. If you're reporting on industry sports betting numbers, which is obviously one of our core things that we do, it was a busy day for Adam and company over at LSR because all of them dropped at the same time in the course of like 2 hours. You know, the top line one, it continues to be New Jersey. They have huge amounts of money bet there. Actually dropped a little bit, but you know, from December to January, we saw a little bit of a drop at almost 960 million bet in New Jersey. That's still a large number. We usually see January drop back a little bit just because of a football season wrapping up, going into, you know, the playoffs, just less football games to bet on. But you know, we had NBA getting into full swing, college basketball still going on, so that helps make it up. Again, we've always compared it against the Nevada market, where we see a pullback, not necessarily seeing a huge pullback in these growing sports betting markets across the United States. So top line, we'll get to a billion in handle sometime, maybe March Madness for New Jersey, who knows. But yeah, no, the lack of football betting is probably going to keep that from happening until we get into next year. But you know, big top line number in New Jersey there. I don't know if there's anything Adam wants to add on New Jersey before we move on to another state.
I think you hit the key points there. And I think right next door in Pennsylvania, Dustin, it was another record. Over $600 million in money was wagered in January, and revenue held about the same. So bettors did a little bit better in that month. What continues to be the story, though, is that the tax revenue ends up kind of looking the same in Pennsylvania as other places. It just gets there in a very different way because we're looking at just the top four sports books in that state have bonus, I think somewhere in the range of $17, $18 million last month. And they're allowed to deduct that from their revenue, but then you're also taxing it at 36%, which is far and away the highest rate in the nation. So Pennsylvania is going to prove to be an interesting market. I mean, obviously it grew and Pennsylvania came on, roughly a year later in terms of online than New Jersey. So in some ways, not really totally at maturity yet in Pennsylvania, also because we're still having iGaming really make its presence in Pennsylvania the way that it has not gone to full maturity quite yet. So, you know, Dustin, I think Pennsylvania probably still is ripe for a little more growth.
Sure. And in not shocking news, Barstool did not hold 20% of bets again in January. I read much lower revenue, back in line with what we'd expect to see in any market. Still number three behind DraftKings and FanDuel. Actually reversed that order, I think, in terms of which one's first, but still a number three with a bullet, but not really challenging a DraftKings or FanDuel, at least in terms of handle. And again, revenue dropped off quite significantly at Barstool from the month. So we are not in this fantasy world where Barstool is going to hold 20% of bets every month.
Adam, what about Michigan? This is a state here that you just mentioned that I think that, you know, whenever we do look at Super Bowl numbers for next year, we said we were super, super bullish on this state. We were super, super bullish on not only just adding that amount of people, but again, it's a state with, you know, a ton of got a ton of pro sports teams, got a ton of college teams. So it is a sports state, no doubt about it. So we expect these guys to be real big players probably in short order.
Not only sports. I mean, it has those teams because it has people. And we're looking at one of the dozen most populous states in the country in Michigan. So, Matt, would it interest you if I told you that in 10 days in Michigan, we had about $110 million wagered? That seems to be a statement that there's an appetite in Michigan. Remember that it was this time last year, actually in March, when retail sports books were allowed to open in Michigan, and then they were basically grand opening, grand closing because they had to shut down about a week after they opened because of the coronavirus pandemic. So online sports betting is allowed before the Super Bowl comes on and people go crazy for it in Michigan. And maybe this will be a note that interests only me from Michigan, but if you've been paying attention to news outside of sports betting, you probably saw that Governor Rick Snyder, who was the one who vetoed the original bill that would have probably brought online sports betting to Michigan at least a year earlier, was charged in the Flint water crisis. So just, you know, these are the type of people we're dealing with here.
The other part about Michigan to me that's interesting is that we made a big deal out of, right, this was everybody starting on a level playing field. So we got a sense of what was going on, how much people are, which brands are going to break through, right? Because we, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen DraftKings and FanDuel establish early leads. They had everybody basically was launching at the same time. So we have a good look at what happens when we have basically an equal footing. FanDuel, DraftKings, Barstool, BetMGM are 1, 2, 3, 4. Not much separating them in terms of handle. You know, we know a lot more spent on promotional credits and by FanDuel and DraftKings as they try to acquire customers and continue selling their growth story. But it is interesting that we have this is basically the top four that we've noted in that order. In some ways, we'll talk about MGM a little bit more later. But it's interesting to see that. And then everybody else like way behind. It's not even like not even close. But you know, PointsBet is a distant fifth. FoxBet did not launch at the beginning. You could make a case there. Probably number five once we see their numbers come out of February here, but we'll see what happens. But it's interesting to see these are the four that we've identified in recent months as the top four, and that's how it shook out in Michigan at launch.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I think the interesting thing from those numbers is that there's not a huge gap in handle. I mean, FanDuel with 32 million, then the number four spot there, and BetMGM with 22 million. So not a huge, you know, gap between all those other ones, with the DraftKings at 28 and Barstool at 27. So it will, I think there's definitely a fight to be had in Michigan, kind of as we predicted, right? That it wasn't just going to be de facto FanDuel and DraftKings and everybody else. I think that there will be an actual fight there for who comes out, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we might actually see this thing kind of toggle all over the place, Adam.
Without question. And it is a market that we kind of compared to what Colorado did, where everybody was starting, as we said, on the same footing at the same time. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes. You know, as Dustin said, we're going to get into the MGM story a little bit as we go along here, but you can see the beginnings of the traction that MGM mm-hmm. is grabbing nationwide. Now, they are spending a ton of money to get to that traction, but, you know, they're coming from behind and coming to a place where it seems like they're making more of an impact. And if you go over to Illinois, you see where an operator where we thought they were going to be a significant player is, but not nearly to the level where they thought they would be because of the rules change. So Illinois puts up nearly $500 million in handle. Now, mind you, we're comparing to December when we say mm-hmm. $500 million, because apparently it takes longer than it does to bake one of those things they call a pizza in Chicago. It's not a pizza, to get the numbers circulated. And those are the numbers from December. But what we saw was DraftKings, then FanDuel, then BetRivers in that order, all essentially with about 30%, give or take. BetRivers thought they were going to have a lot more of this market because there was not supposed to be remote registration. There has been remote registration pretty much since the beginning of the pandemic because of the executive order by Governor J.B. Pritzker. It's been renewed every 30 days. It's coming up for renewal again right before March Madness. I'll let you guess what you think might happen there. If J.B. Pritzker would really take in-person registration and put it back in right before March Madness, not going to happen. But Illinois certainly has shaken out a little differently than we expected because of the change in the rules.
And Dustin, what about the Indiana? Again, one of the states that was getting a little bit of a bump from being, you know, on an island there for a little bit. I mean, that didn't last very long, but it seems like we're still getting promising numbers out of Indiana.
Yeah, again, still growing, you know, that December to January, we don't always expect more, but this is the market is still growing. Fifth straight month of growth in terms of handle, up to almost 350 million from 313 million in January. So yeah, it's you know, we thought Indiana was benefiting a decent amount from Chicago, and it might have lost a little bit of what's going on in Chicago with Illinois opening up, but same time, still growing on its own, still benefiting from some other surrounding states and metropolitan areas without legal options as well. Here again, we see in the top three, DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM. DraftKings with a fairly sizable lead over everyone else. MGM, a pretty distant third, and then again down to PointsBet and Rivers, other brands that are struggling to be in the conversation for number four, number five. No Barstool there yet. So yeah, I mean, everything's trending. You know, it was wild to see all these numbers come out in very short order. We got a really good picture of where things stand heading into 2021, with how much this is still growing. You know, even in Indiana, which has been an open market for more than a year now, and is still growing pretty considerably.
Adam, that was the rainbows and unicorns part of the podcast where everything was rosy. We were talking about all the awesome things and the numbers and everything and the growth. And here we go. Let's talk about some shenanigans in Tennessee. Fill everybody in on what was going on there in Tennessee.
I believe shenanigans is a very well chosen word, Mr. Brown. So if you didn't know anything else and you saw this bill pop up, you would say to yourself, why are we talking about this? But then you get into the story and you understand why. So a representative in Tennessee recently filed a bill to ban being able to place sports wagers at the same place that you get, what will we call it? Advanced loans, payday loans is really
short-term
the way.
Short-term loans.
Yeah, yeah, short-term loans, yeah. Short-term high interest loans. And you say to yourself, okay, yeah, seems like some pretty good logic that you shouldn't be able to bet on sports at the same place you're taking out a 30% loan. Well, there's one sports book in Tennessee that offers you the ability to do that as of right now. There's a local book called Action 24/7 that essentially does give you the ability to do both of those things right now, because the primary business that Action 24/7 is involved in is in payday lending. And then they also were licensed by the state of Tennessee to open a sports book. Now, what that same representative told our Matthew Waters was that he has someone ready to testify at a legislative hearing that his sports betting winnings were held by this company to pay off his payday loans. So essentially, they just decided, well, you know, these businesses are both under the same umbrella. You right. owe us over here. You won over here. Now we'll just take our cut and then whatever's left might be able to go to you. Also came out yesterday in the Tennessee Lottery Board meeting that apparently at least one sports book had some accounts closed over concerns about suspicious wagering. Essentially that one person might have had multiple accounts, might have been betting on behalf of other people. So Tennessee's got some things to clean up right now. And it's certainly things that are going to draw attention from elsewhere.
And Dustin, you know, this was the state that whenever this all went down, we were talking about it. Look, they had not had any sort of casino gaming before. And so they were doing the all online model. They were kind of building everything from scratch there. And then kind of the odd licensing of this company we had never heard of and had to dig in and figure out why is this company getting licensed? And we find out it's like some local bigwigs and things like that. So it's, you know, listen, Tennessee is still a work in progress for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look here, we're all in favor of local sports books and trying to usurp the hierarchy of what's going on. There's no problem with a local sports book brand, but this brand is obviously the ties are not great that we're doing this, that we're having this discussion about payday loans and paying sports books. Like maybe I mean, yes, local sports books great, regional sports books great, but let's not do payday loans. Let's not have that. Let's stay away from that. We have enough problems getting legitimacy for sports betting. This is like, you know, I look at this and I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we having this discussion about somebody who's also a payday lender being a sports book? Like, I don't know. It doesn't sit well with any of us. I think that this is taking place in Tennessee, and hopefully they figure it out.
And Adam, this is really the only state that we've, you know, since we've been really covering this and talking about, you know, anybody that gets licensed in these different states, like this was really the only state that had one that had a company that got licensed where we had to go and do real research and figure out who they were and what it was all about. I mean, pretty much all these other states, when it comes through, it's at least some company that we've heard of before.
Right. I mean, you look at New Jersey and there are some sports books that are small European sports books that we're kind of looking in and we're like, hold on, wait a second. Oh, yeah, yeah. You get a big business over in the EU. Great. But then we looked at this Action company and we said, OK, you're a payday lender who wants to open a sports book. I would suggest anybody who's interested in knowing how this might have happened. I'm not telling you this is why it happened. Correlation is not causation, but campaign finance donations would be a very interesting thing to look up in this situation.
First place to start, anyway. A good place to start whenever you want to do your research. Dustin, let's talk. You know, we just talked about MGM, and we said that there was, you know, pretty promising numbers for them coming out of Michigan. I think also as well with that is for us to look at and say, again, we were kind of going back to the retail thing in Vegas. Well, look, they just built a big brand new casino up there and it's all shiny. And certainly, you know, it hasn't had the type of foot traffic and everything over the last year. So maybe there's ground to be gained from that aspect as well from BetMGM. Once people get, you know, more comfortable going out in public, traveling, doing a little bit, going to this big casino up there and stuff. So there was some stuff come out of their earnings call for us.
It's funny. I used to listen to these earnings calls hoping for like a sliver of sports betting or online casino news. Now it's like the main thing they talk about because this is their growth area, MGM especially. So they reported they closed 2020 with more net revenue than they had projected, $178 million. That is obviously not profit. They are spending a crap ton of money to get to that number. But, you know, they're showing growth and being faster. They are positioning themselves again as saying they're number three, basically behind DraftKings and FanDuel with the numbers that they're sharing. And that's pretty obvious until somebody comes along and says otherwise, or Barstool gets into more states. But MGM, you know, asserted in this earnings call that it's important to be live in states. They are, you know, getting live in any state as quickly as they can. They're obviously there in day one in Michigan and saw that in Tennessee. They were early. They were one of the early operators and have a meaningful amount of revenue coming out of Tennessee. So all of this points to, you know, MGM. You know, we know this, that MGM is banking on sports betting and increasingly even online casino, with Michigan opening up to online casino, and online gambling is a big part of what MGM is going to do moving forward. And it's coming out even in its year end earnings calls as they, you know, push that growth segment as the casino retail casino industry kind of bounces back.
And Adam, if we're going to talk about, you know, the bad things with some of these companies and the apps and the functionality and things like that, we should also talk about the good things as well. And when steps are taken in the right direction. And, you know, listen, is it the best app on the market? It's not. But BetMGM did release a new app for the people of Nevada. They also, which I sent a text to you and said, can you even believe this? I'm actually getting promos sent to my phone now here in Nevada, which has never happened ever before in the history of time, where it is like, you know, like we see in every other state in the union. And MGM looks like maybe they're going, huh, this is working for us in other states. Maybe we should do the state that we don't do it in for whatever reason. So listen, we got to give credit where credit's due. And they did upgrade their app and they did add a few offerings, still not the offerings we get for the rest of the country for whatever reason. I don't know. But we are getting promos as well. So listen, when a step in the right direction anyway.
Yes, a step in that direction. Potentially countered by making it more difficult to log into said app. However, a step.
It is. There we. If you're listening to this, facial recognition or thumbprint recognition, BetMGM app. That should be on the thing there. Typing in a long password that has to have upper and lowercase and numbers as well every single time. Not great, especially when you're trying to live bet on your app. So just a little word of advice right there. Adam, so talking about these, like, you know, local, and it's not really local anymore. They are in other markets, specifically Colorado, but we know the Westgate Superbook is one of the, you know, more popular books due to the super contest that they have run for several years, which was probably, until Circa came along, the most prestigious contest. I think Circa's probably kind of usurped them already for that. But Barstool and Superbook are butting heads.
And it's not like we had to do investigative journalism to figure this out. All we had to do was go to Dave Portnoy's Twitter, which, by the way, should come with its own disclaimer warning if you're going to go into that world. But yeah, Dave Portnoy posted a cease and desist letter sent by Westgate's Las Vegas lawyers to Barstool Sportsbook saying that they were infringing on a trademark. And okay, that seems like a legitimate concern. And then you look at what the trademark is, and the trademark is a phrase that I think we've probably all heard. Good teams win, great teams cover. Who knew that Westgate had gone and trademarked that phrase as early as 2008? They had trademarked it, and then in 2012 were actually granted that trademark. Portnoy posted on his Twitter like, oh, well, it's obvious, you know, that we're, you know, that we're getting their attention, and there's no way they actually could have trademarked this. It's like saying you trademarked the question mark. Well, I guess we'll have to look up who trademarked the question mark, because apparently there was a trademark on this phrase. It's the second letter sent by Westgate, so we don't know if Barstool will take it at all seriously. But, you know, we asked Penn National, the parent company of Barstool Sportsbook, for comment, and the comment we got back from Penn National was that the tweet speaks for itself. Okay, so it does. You know, Westgate, as you mentioned, is making an impact in Colorado, and for as old school as they bill themselves, right? They talk about the old school experience. Go look at the Superbook USA Twitter right now, and you will see that they're advertising the odds boosts and promos that they're running in Colorado. Eventually, everyone sees what you have to do to compete in these other states.
Yeah, it is certainly night and day when it comes to where they were even a year ago when all of this stuff, Adam, it's pretty funny to take a look at. Dustin, our friends up north, and this is something we've talked about a few different times here on the pod in various ways, because there is sports betting in Canada. It's all, no single game. You have to do parlays and all that, and it's kind of gray area if you want to bet in some of these other places. It looks like maybe we are headed toward finally getting real established legalization up there.
Yeah, I'll before you listen to me talk, I'll point you to a great summation of what's going on in Canada by our legal expert, John Holden, who's been following this, really takes you through the legislative process, which is new to all of us a little bit as Canada has really dug its heels into sports betting. But suffice to say, there's two bills. One passed a second reading this week. Another one is up for a vote as soon as tomorrow and debate tomorrow. This is not a final vote of what's going to happen in Canada. But if this gets to the final stages, a third reading and a vote, that would mean for either of these bills that the prohibition on sports bet, single game sports wagering in Canada would be gone, which is basically what was the outcome of the 2018 Supreme Court case here, is that the ban was gone, and then the provinces are then free to start working on sports betting as they see fit. So we're seeing a lot of momentum for this. It looks like a lot of things can still go wrong as in any legislative process, but things are trending positively in Canada for this all to come together. And short of saying it's going to happen, things are trending positively, and we may have before too long this prohibition on single game wagering will be gone in Canada.
Talking about another company, Canadian based, they did launch over in New Jersey, and we were wondering the impact that they would have. Talking about the score here, never really came around to making any sort of impact in the New Jersey sports betting market, Dustin, because I think they were a little too cocky in this whole thing. They came in, we're like, we're not going to do advertising, and we're not going to do deals with other sites, and we're not going to work with anyone because we're the score. And it's like, I get it. That mentality, but it doesn't necessarily really translate over here in America, despite the fact that the app is quite popular, never really has translated to them making any sort of noise whatsoever. And recently here, there were some acquisition talks even kind of going on about the score.
Yeah, the score, again, talked about what's going on with them. Yes, you're right. They have definitely underperformed the U.S., at least versus what they have. They've talked a big game, but have not really delivered on, New Jersey getting live there, and are certainly nothing more than a niche player in that market. So, with all this talk of legalization, they are a Canadian brand, traded in Canada. Their stock has gone up 600%, and just they were trading well under a dollar, now over $4. So people are looking at that and saying the score is has a built-in advantage in Canada. Again, whether that plays out or not remains to be seen. But yes, they've been also the target, the talk of speculation in the M&A world, that somebody based on, one, their media presence, two, their presence in Canada, and perhaps a little bit of an advantage in serving markets up there, that they're going to be an M&A target. The CEO of the of the score did not was coy, did not can't, you know, obviously can't say yes, we're going to be acquired, but they, you know, that's part of what they're, you know, but they're, you know, it has helped the stock, this, you know, between legalization in Canada and, you know, the speculation about M&A, it's really helped them. So, you know, would I be surprised if the score is acquired sometime later this year? Absolutely not. But we don't know who, and we don't know exactly when that might happen. But, you know, you're looking to get a foothold in Canada. This seems like it might be a smart play. And we've seen all these media deals. The score is a media play as well. So lots to make sense if you're a gaming company or somebody who wants to get into sports betting in Canada and propel yourself with a media brand as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I Canada going live is certainly it's certainly fun to think about. And we know that there's a lot of people who are interested in doing gaming up there and gambling up there. And Adam, whenever we take a look, though, it is only about the size of California, the entire country. So, right. So like when we hear about the score getting acquired, if this were to come to fruition, it might not be a number that just absolutely blows us away like we've seen with some of these other deals that have happened in the States. Because, again, like, you know, the population of the entire country is that of what we have, you know, a few miles down the road here in California.
Yeah, the more you look at this entire situation, the more, if you've been following this space, especially over the last 12 to 18 months, you come away thinking the only logical conclusion is for this company to be acquired. And they just had their shareholders vote on a dual listing so they could be listed on the U.S. market as well. That seems to me to be largely a play to get them a valuation that's going to attract somebody to jump in there and grab them. You know, the popular rumor that we heard was DraftKings, because DraftKings was obviously, we saw with expanding that NFL deal they have into Canada a little bit more aggressively. We talked to some folks about that. It might not be as hot a rumor as we initially thought. But again, the more you line this up, you see the underperformance in New Jersey. They did just launch in Iowa, so they are trying to take the company and go a little farther and maybe do a little more proof of concept in a market not as competitive as New Jersey. But yeah, the more you look at it, the more you think that this company, with that user base that they have from the media app, just seems ripe for some operator who has proven to be a little bit better at conversion to come in and grab.
And I'll come back to the population for 1 second before we move on. And yes, Canada is a small, obviously fairly small country, but Ontario is the place that's most likely to go live first. That would be bigger than any state in the U.S. that has actually already gone live. 14 million people, Illinois, just under 13 million people. So this is, it's a big deal, you know, as we look at incremental growth of the North American market, and, you know, everything else is smaller compared to that. But, you know, Ontario opening up would be, you know, the equivalent of opening up one of the bigger state that's bigger than what we have currently for the U.S. for a legal sports online sports betting market.
Adam, somebody's not playing nice to one of your freedom of information requests.
I actually could expand that to more than a few people are not playing nice with multiple freedom of information requests that we've put in over the last few months. Hello, Illinois. But this one in particular is out of New Jersey. So we talked right here on the podcast about a bulletin that was put out last month by the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, essentially warning operators, saying that they had complaints from customers about some shady practices with people who were trying to get their money out, that folks who were trying to withdraw from certain sports books were being encouraged to keep their money in some cases were even being given bonus offers on that money to try to keep it in. That is not a practice that should be anywhere near a regulated market. That is the entire purpose of regulation, is to keep things like this from happening. Now, what that bulletin didn't say was what operators did customers say this was happening from? And it seems to us that for the benefit of everyone out there, it should be a little clearer as to who is doing this, because there is no disinfectant better than sunlight. So our Brad Allen put in multiple Freedom of Information Act requests, which at this point have been denied, saying that it could cause undue harm to certain operators because of they were named in these complaints, which would seem to me to suggest, if we were to do a little bit of extrapolation, that either an investigation is ongoing or an investigation maybe hasn't turned up everything that was initially claimed. But in any case, we're still trying to find out more about what's going on there.
You don't think that maybe they are being a little bit biased because it is Brad that's putting these in and his devilish good looks and that sexy British accent that maybe is turning these people off, right?
I mean, I'm beguiled by him on a regular basis, but maybe it's just because it's a Brit and they fear the tyranny of the crown. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you see a picture of that guy and then you get the accents that go along with it. And it's just it's game over. Right. I mean, when we're talking about
there's
Brad
a reason Allen. We call him Mr. Braddy Big Time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Dustin, you're a guy that has put in some Freedom of Information Act requests before in your day. How often have you run into people being very resistant to want to give you the information you are searching?
It depends on what you're searching for and who you're contacting. It's, you know, it's maybe not surprising. I'm with Adam. I'm hoping this means there's still an ongoing investigation. Mm-hmm. And if somebody was actually doing this, that will come out, because it does need to come out that this, like, if somebody was breaking regulations in New Jersey, we want to, and this means, again, I think we said this on the last time we talked to this in the podcast, this means it's happening in other markets. It means it can't be just New Jersey. If you're doing this one place, you're doing it multiple places, and this kind of thing needs to stop. And we just need better out of the regulated market. We're here being proponents of the regulated market. We need this stuff to stop. If we're going to be, you know, we talk about all these things that could turn into bad things for the industry and slow it down and just be bad news for us in general. Cause you know, the difference to the regulated market is being better than the offshore market. And if we see examples of that happening, then, you know, what are we doing here? That's the point of the regulated market is then usurped pretty easily. So we hope that this comes out. It really depends on the FOI request, where you're doing it, what you're asking for. Here, I think we made a reasonable request. It's a shame that we didn't get it, but I do hope it'll come out eventually. What is going on in New Jersey?
Guys, as always, every single thing we talk about here on the pod, you can find over at LegalSportsReport.com. So please go over there and give some love to all the great work that is getting done over there. And again, if you are listening to this on the website, you'd like this delivered directly to your podcasting host of choice, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google, go in, subscribe, rate, review. It'll be pushed to you every single time that we go live. If you want to follow Adam on Twitter, at Adam Candy, that is 2 E's, no Y, at Dustin Galker. For Dustin, and I gave it to you at the top of the show, you don't need mine yet again. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.